This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Later in the hour, we'll discuss controversial new research on cholesterol-lowering drugs. But first, if you gaze toward the southern skies at night, one of the brightest stars in the sky might catch your eye. It's burning 16 times brighter than our sun, called Formalhut. Great star. It's one of our closest neighbors. It's about 25 light years away. And back in the 1960s, the classic fantasy and science fiction author Ursula K. Le Guin wrote of an imaginary planet called Formalhut 2. But you know how these days science fiction happens to turn into science fact? Well, this week in the journal Science, a group of astronomers reported the discovery, not of Le Guin's Formalhut 2, but a planet they called Formalhut B, a bona fide planet orbiting the bright star Formalhut. They say that the exoplanet is no more than 3 times the size of Jupiter. Now, lots of exoplanets have been discovered before, but what makes this discovery special is that astronomers were able to take a snapshot of the planet with a camera in visible light, an ordinary snapshot. Now, that's never been done before, albeit this was a camera attached to a very big telescope, one aboard the Hubble Space Telescope. Here to talk about it is James Graham, a professor of astronomy at the University of California at Berkeley, a member of the team that took the picture. If you'd like to talk about it with us, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. We're also Twittering. If you'd like to Twitter with us on Science Friday, you write the at sign followed by Cy Fritter. That's SCIFRITTER. And in Second Life, we're also hosting a discussion there. You can join us in Second Life. Welcome to the program, Dr. Graham.
Hello. Thank you, Ira.
How
Pleasure
are you?
To be here.
You must be pretty excited.
Well, this is a tremendously exciting time for astronomers. It certainly is a golden age for astronomy, not just for discovering extrasolar planets, but for understanding cosmology and the universe at large.
Mm-hmm. Explain to us how you found Formalhut B.
So the problem regarding finding these extrasolar planets, or at least taking pictures of them, is that they're tremendously faint. So this particular object turned out to be 3 billion times fainter than Formalhut itself. And so the problem is akin to finding the firefly next to the searchlight. So we require exceptionally good optics, very well-crafted cameras, and then careful analysis of the observations after the pictures have been taken.
Mm-hmm. And we have a picture of it up on our website on sciencefriday.com if our listeners want to look at it. And I'm looking at it now, and two things strike me. One is, where did the star go in the picture? It's not there.
Right. So this picture you may have seen before, as some of my collaborators, Paul Callas and Mark Clampin, published a picture of what's maybe been referred to as the evil eye of Sauron in some of the popular literature. And so these are images taken with an instrument configuration on the Hubble called a coronagraph. And the coronagraph is a fancy name for an occulting spot that's in the camera that blocks out the light from the star. So right at the center, where the pupil is of the eye, is where the star lands. So it's behind the occulting spot.
And because it would be too bright, right? It would sort of blind the telescope.
Precisely. So as you mentioned in the introduction, Formalhut is about 16 times more luminous than the sun. And this planet, we believe, is actually the faintest known object outside the solar system. It has a luminosity of 0.2 of a million, that of our sun.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would imagine, though, that one of the reasons you could see the planet and that dot in the picture is because the star, though, was so bright.
Oh, yes. Some of the light that we see from the planet itself, we believe, is actually reflected light.
Mm-hmm.
And there are various techniques for finding planets. There are planets that are found indirectly using Doppler methods, where you see the wobble imposed on the star by the orbital motion. And you can look for reflected light, which requires a bright star. You can look for self-luminous planets, which is actually a technique used in a second paper that came out in Science this week describing a three-planet system. So this really is a bonanza week for the discovery of extrasolar planets.
Mm-hmm. And so this is really the first picture of a planet like we might take a snapshot of it with our own if we could.
This is certainly, it satisfies those criteria. It's an image in visible light. So you could imagine being a super evolved creature being able to look at Fomalhaut and actually see it with your own eye, which is one of the things that stimulates the imagination here.
It is very exciting, but I'm having trouble. I look at that picture and I see lots of little dots that I would call planets in there.
Oh, yeah.
How do you know which one is a real planet?
So, again, looking at the picture, you see this radial structure just beyond the black dot. Mm-hmm. That's the structure that looks like the iris. And that's a pattern that's associated with optical errors in the Hubble telescope. It's called a speckle pattern. And so what we have to do is measure that pattern very carefully. And we do that by looking at other star systems. For example, other stars of the same type and approximately the same brightness like Vega. And we compare that speckle pattern with the speckle pattern in Fomalhaut. And then the difference allows us to see objects that are associated with Fomalhaut.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a differential comparison of multiple stars.
So do you take time lapse over a period of years, too, to see if the planet's moving?
And if you inspect the image, you'll notice that there are other objects in the field. These objects are very faint, so many of the objects in the field are background galaxies. There are also some background stars within our own Milky Way. And so to be able to distinguish those sources from something that's physically associated with Fomalhaut, we have to actually look for the orbital motion of Fomalhaut's planet around it. So we have to look at multiple epochs. And currently we have two epochs, and we can see the object move. That was essentially for us the clincher when we saw this object physically associated with Fomalhaut.
Why did you choose this star? Did it match a model you thought that you could actually take a picture of?
Oh, so Fomalhaut, from the point of view of planet hunting, became a hot target in the 1980s. In the 1980s, the star was discovered to have a system called a planetary debris disk. That's a cloud of dust orbiting the star, and believed to be the remnants of material left over from building planets. And so ever since then, Fomalhaut has been studied. And in fact, this image that we published 3 years ago, the first version of the evil eye picture, was the first resolution and visible light of that debris disk. And once we saw the structure there, once we saw the hollowed out inner edge of that belt, we were pretty confident that there must be something in there responsible for sculpting the belt. And in fact, one of our colleagues, Alice Quillen in New York, predicted mm-hmm. the location of the planet. Last year, she predicted the location of a planet at a separation of 119 astronomical units. And so that's remarkable insight. And our current calculations, especially by Eugene Chang, have shown that's very consistent with what we see.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be taking other pictures of it? Can you magnify this anymore? Are you at maximum resolution?
So you can imagine, with two epochs, we're excited. What we're really keen to do is to see a third epoch with the Hubble Space Telescope. So you can bet we will be biting our nails when servicing Mission 4 goes next year and prepares the Hubble to observe again for this target.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible to use any other telescopes besides the Hubble on something like this?
Oh, indeed, yes. So the other technologies that are developing to help us see extrasolar planets from the ground is called adaptive optics, and we'll be using that technology at telescopes like the Gemini Observatory and the Keck Telescope.
Are there other stars that seem like good targets too?
Oh yes, they're very interesting long list of stars with known debris disks. There and the, many of them are brand name stars, mm-hmm. like the bright star in the southern constellation of Pictoris, Beta Pictoris, is another excellent candidate that has a debris disk, mm-hmm. and we will be looking at that system very very closely.
Now, if I wanted to go out tonight and see Fomalhaut, where would I look, and are there any guide points in the sky for it?
So one of the ways that makes it easy to recognize Fomalhaut is that it's a southern star, so you look in the south. You have to look fairly early in the morning these days to see Fomalhaut, but it's a very isolated star. It's the only bright star in the southern sky early in the morning these days.
Wow, so that should be sitting right by itself.
That's correct.
And I would imagine you have spurred other astronomers on now.
Well, there's been tremendous response from the community and a great deal of excitement. And there are various missions being planned by NASA and by ground-based observatories to search for extrasolar planets using imaging techniques. And we're very excited about the momentum that this adds to that effort.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way to see if there's any atmosphere or anything like that on this planet? Or would you know that already?
Our knowledge of the physical conditions on this planet at the moment are exceptionally rudimentary. We can guess what the temperature is. It's probably something like the planet Neptune in our own solar system. So even though this is a luminous star, the planet is remote from the star, so it's rather cool. But it will require a great deal of effort to collect the data to study its atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And that would require things like 30-meter telescopes and the successor to the James Webb telescope. Sorry, the successor to the Hubble telescope, which is the James Webb telescope.
You mentioned in the other paper in Science about the infrared radiation and the other planets.
That's correct, yes.
Can you give us an idea what those planets might be like?
So this is a system with a name that's not quite so euphonious as Fomalhaut. It's called HR 8799. HR stands for the Harvard Revised Catalog. And what has been discovered there is heat radiation left over from the formation of these young objects. And by interpreting the observed luminosity, you can estimate, once you know the age of the system, that these objects are fairly massive. They probably have masses maybe around 10 times the mass of Jupiter.
Wow.
What's remarkable in this system is the fact that there are three objects, and the orbital motion has been discerned in the discovery observations.
All right, Dr. Graham, we'll have to pick that up later, but I want to thank you for taking time to be with us. Fascinating, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
James Graham, Professor of Astronomy at the University of California at Berkeley, talking about the first picture of an exosolar planet. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about a controversial health study about Crestor, so stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation, Science Friday from NPR News.